Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. Joining me on the Extra Hour today is John Ramos.
Hello.
Hola. And the producer of VFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
If you missed it, I really searched hard trying to get a perspective, spending time with God. All this tragedy, all the brokenness that's taken place in Moore, Oklahoma. And I encourage you to listen to the first hour to kind of help you begin to seek out, you know, God, what's going on? What should be my response to this? And also helping them out by going to VFNTV.com, clicking on the links. You'll see Operation Blessing there, Samaritan Purse, and do something on behalf of the kingdom of God, reaching out to the folks in Moore, Oklahoma.
Fantastic. We are so excited. We're so excited to be with you here today. And we want to share everything that the Lord has just been sharing with us and telling us. And we're excited about being with you, our listeners.
So you're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation
light.
Oh, my goodness, my goodness. I know you have a couple of key things you wanted to be able to talk about in the next hour.
Yes.
I know you're hiding them from us. So, All righty then.
Well,
before you do that.
Yes.
Before you say
Yes.
So here I am. There I was.
There I was. All yous and yourselves.
Yeah. I put it, you know, anyway.
Yes.
Down in the Emerald Coast, we have not only snails that eat houses, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it's true. Yeah,
not only do we have mosquitoes that are very widespread.
Size of your hand.
Mm. We have all kinds of things. And so Don and I got the back porch. We just put a screen around it. Mm. And so you can actually use the back porch. It's totally different in this neck of the woods. You definitely want to have a screen so you can enjoy it. So especially since there wasn't a freeze going on, what'd you get a screen for? Signs of time, bro. Signs of time. That's where the locusts will land outside on the screen, right? If they would have had a screened room with the locusts coming, they would have actually...
They would have made it.
Would have at least saved the food and the day's worth of food. You know, Tozer was writing in some of his writings that in Jesus' day, to be considered wealthy, it meant that you had 2 days' worth of clothes and a day's worth of food.
Wow.
Wow.
That's what wealth meant when Jesus was talking. Imagine how wealthy he sees America today. So anyway, so I look at him, the man putting in the screen. I said, listen, the whole purpose of this is to keep the locusts on the outside, right? That's the whole purpose. Now, if you can't do that, there ain't no reason to put it up. He goes, oh, man, I guarantee there's not going to be anything getting in here at all, right? Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, wow, I wonder what that's like to sit on the back porch without having things
attacked.
Landing in your ear and stuff at nighttime. Well, look at the sun. Look at the bug in my ear. Anyway, and so I just happened to be out there last night, and it was dark, and I kept on hearing this boom, 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 and I'm thinking, man, what's Donna doing, right? It's supposed to be peaceful out here. Why isn't it peaceful? And it's boom, boom. I'm thinking, what? Is that what is going on? It went for the longest time, so I'm thinking, well, obviously there's some sort of locust trying to get in from the outside. But then all of a sudden, as I'm hearing all this, I kind of looked down in the dark and I saw something darker than the dark launching itself against the screen. I'm thinking,
oh my
goodness,
is there a warranty on this thing?
I did not let anything in here with me. How did it get in here?
It was in?
And so it was in. It was in. In.
Trying to get out.
In. Now, he's talking about no mosquito. This thing looks this big. And so I finally, you know, make it quickly to the light. What is this thing? All kinds of things down here. And it was a frog. A whole frog.
I wish I could be
a frog. A frog. Now, he told me a mosquito couldn't get in. A frog can't even get out. It's going like boom, 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 trying to commit suicide. I'm like, what are you doing? And how did this go? So I took a picture of it.
Oh.
And I'm gonna contact him and say, listen, take this thing down. A frog
put this on your website.
A frog got in this screened in room. All kinds of locusts going to get in here. My goodness, I couldn't believe that.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
I wish I would have been into that frog.
I need a refund.
You're right. No doubt. He's going to hear about it. I want the frog holes closed up. I don't know where a frog. I don't know what he did. A demon.
You might have trapped him in there, will you?
We had to be there a while.
Man, those frogs get big, too. Was it a big one?
Oh, it was big. I got a picture of it. I got a picture of that puppy. He's looking at me going like, I'm trying to get out. I just can't get out. It's like, you shouldn't be here in the first place.
Sure,
it's like the plagues were supposed to be on the outside of that screen, exactly. Not on the inside of the screen.
Exactly. I was thinking about, you know, a lot of people love and, you know, the idea of being successful and doing, you know, good work and having,
I like more than the idea. I actually would like.
Well,
to be
yeah, it has to. Yeah, well, you got to start with the idea first. You know, right. Like I want to be successful.
Not in America.
Yeah,
I expect to drop out of this guy. Do you ever have an idea?
Okay. Yeah, successful, but a lot of times you're missing the key components to being successful, and there's one key component in Proverbs 14:23. It says all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Mm. Nothing in life just happens. Believe it or not, it just doesn't happen. And anything of true significance, you know, involves a dream, right? A dream is sharing of that dream, talking about it. And, of course, hard work to fulfill the dream. You need all three. You need, you know, dreamers, talkers, and doers, and builders, right?
Oh, yeah.
But some are just dreamers. They plan.
And plan some more.
And plan some more.
Ready, 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 yeah. Ready, 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 ready. You ever think about aiming, aiming, yeah. Aiming, aiming, aiming?
Yeah.
Fire.
Or firing, firing, firing.
And then you got those that just fire, aim, and aim.
Yeah, right. No, what just happened? I just got shot.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they just plan. They just plan and dream, and it's like, wait a minute. Are you going to do something with these plans, or are you just dreaming here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you have some of those that just talk. They talk.
Some.
Well, yeah, I guess a lot. Right.
Most.
It's like, oh, I get it now. I get it.
They talk. No walk. You know what I'm saying? It's like, listen, you can't just talk about it. You know, they love to share their dreams, love to share about what it's going to be like. And it's like, man, somebody's got to get in here and start doing something. There's a third component to all this is hard work. Don't go there. Then my eyebrows hit the top of the head.
Like a tournament.
I knew that was coming. So staying focused here. Hard work.
You were talking? What's that? This is good.
Yeah, talking only leads to poverty, but hard work is what brings a profit. And Proverbs 14:4 says that where there is no oxen, the manger is empty. But the strength of an ox comes from an abundant harvest. You know, it's diligence, it's being faithful, it's having all of three of these components, and they're all important because, you know, you can put a whole bunch of hard work and don't even have a plan, you know, and don't know what in the world you're doing. Spinning your wheels.
Yeah.
You can talk about it, and you know what? Talking about it doesn't pay the bills. You know what I'm saying? You can, you know, it just doesn't get it done, and you can dream, but if you're just dreaming and you don't plan to put any feet.
No faith,
no action. It just doesn't happen. We need to be dreamers and talkers and talking the vision out and then actually working it out and seeing that vision come to pass.
So many people work so hard their whole life, don't they? And it's like, but it's like, you don't know where you're going.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're doing.
Mm-mm.
and you've showed up several times at the nothing that you were headed for, and you never knew that, you never knew that you got there, and your life ends, you go, what was that?
Exactly.
What was that? You think about it, right?
Yeah.
Like, wow.
And it's sad. You can do, you can, you know, people arrive to a place on accident.
Mm-hmm.
But you can actually arrive to a place on purpose.
Yeah. Living life on purpose.
What a concept.
What a concept. Intentionality here. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so,
starting your day on purpose makes me think about, if you get a chance to go and listen to that on VFN Torch, called Starting Your Day on Purpose.
Yes.
Purpose, which is purpose, power, and vision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You need strength, you need clarity, and you need a direction.
Direction.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And vision is so important. I know you've been listening to VFN Radio. We've spoken a lot about vision. I encourage you to go to the top of the torch, and you can go by to the torch by going to VFNTV.com and selecting the moving torch, which was very nice. I like that moving torch. And you click that.
Pretty snazzy.
Yeah, snazzy. Yes. I don't
hold your hands over. You get real cold. You can get warmed up.
But you click that torch, and you go in the right hand, upper right-hand corner. You can type in the word vision. And you listen to some of these powerful segments because you really get encouraged. You need a vision. You need a vision.
Without it, you perish.
Without it, you perish.
Mm-hmm.
But once you got one, don't put it on your business card and do nothing. You know what I'm saying? You know, I remember this one guy.
Or never pass one out.
Oh, my goodness.
It's got to be big. It's got to be big. Big. A million versus like 50,000. Big vision, right?
A big vision.
A big vision.
A huge vision.
Right.
Then you got to work towards it.
It's important, though, to have steps in that, because you'll defeat yourself having vision so big that it takes your entire lifetime to reach it.
That's right.
You can't smaller, attach your faith to it.
You know, a business sector would say intermediate goals.
Yeah.
That, you know, you get that celebration. You need some things to check off and to celebrate and
feel good about.
Yeah, feel good about.
It's done. We're blazing through. We're halfway done. Right. But
I got a check mark.
Yeah, that's the value. My value is like accomplishment.
People who live on purpose, they actually like the check mark. That's
a beautiful thing.
And think about it. That you can, you know, all day long your day has to count for something. There's just some, you know, there's some people out there that are just giving time.
You know, remember, too, that a person without a vision is at the mercy of the demon or the man who does. And a visionless people, that void will be filled by darkness. And you'll have people that will come in, tyrannical leaders.
Oh, yeah.
And begin to say, okay, I'm going to lead you. And because people are visionless, they're destroyed because they'll be taken. I mean, you think about Hitler.
Yeah.
You know, Hitler led a visionless people into a place of just horrific tragedy. But if they would have had a vision, they would have known this particular person's vision is against our vision, so I'm not going to, you know, exercise my voting power, because he got voted in. You know, Hitler got voted into office.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of stories about the number of votes. But if they would have known clarity, you can line your values up.
It was a visionless society. It was a visionless society. Here comes this person who comes in with his vision.
His one man's vision.
Think about that.
That came from hell.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Which shows you the power of kingdom vision.
That's right.
Because you look at where one man, you know, when you think about Charles Seymour, you think about William Booth, you think about Oral Roberts, you think about Steve Hill, whoever.
Right.
Where one man got a vision for a kingdom vision.
That's right.
And just, or, you know, Todd down in South Africa, right? He has a vision for can a nation be one in a day?
Yeah.
And he literally can stir nations up because his vision is for nations, which is an overwhelming vision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you start thinking, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That's pretty big.
Yeah.
Like 50,000, like a drop in the bucket.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's big. I mean, it's huge.
Well, he has faith for it. That's
yes.
the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
a lot of people are just dreaming just a dream, but they have no faith whatsoever to attach itself. And you want to make sure that whatever you're dreaming, whatever you're believing for, you can actually have faith to go out and do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know,
we think about it, we're literally reaching princes now on
VFN
Radio. And they're connecting to us, and we're reaching the world. You know, Kumar right here just joined us over in northern India. And we're just so glad to have you. We can't call everybody out, but it's just amazing how that God's in the nations. He says, yes, you know, he says, listen, that if you ask me, and this is when you write your vision out, kingdom vision, is the reason why people ask and don't get, because they ask amiss, they ask outside the will of God. Mm-hmm. But this is his will. He wants the nations. He says, make disciples of nations. He says, if you'll ask of me, I'll give you the nations as an inheritance. As an inheritance. Mm. And this inheritance in the kingdom is so big that you're not going to be able to even digest it. You just got to say, thank you for this inheritance.
Right.
Or some people, you know, say, well, you know, I knew all this all along. It's like, this thing is so big that you can't even wrap your 2 cents around it. You just have to just go, wow, look what you're doing. Look what you're giving us. You know, in the nations. Mm-hmm. And it's just an amazing, amazing thing. But yeah.
Yes. Okay,
so it's one man, you know, one vision, one God, and nothing's stoppable with that.
That's right.
Wow.
You have God. You know, I think it was Reinhard Bunke who said, you're a zero, right? We're all zeros. We're no one.
Right.
But if we come alongside the number one, Jesus, we become a 10.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then if another zero joins us together, we become 100.
Right.
And then if another zero comes with 1,000, there's 10,000 of us. There's 100,000 of us. There's 1,000,000 of us.
If one could put 1,000
in flight,
2 10,000 exponential. Oh, exactly.
You know?
The exciting thing is that when other people hear the same vision, what's coming from heaven, and say, yeah, I'm in agreement with what God is doing, and then you begin to see an army.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
An army just gathering together because we're hearing the orders from God for this generation. And we're beginning to see the formulation. That's why you see a flaming torch on VFN TV, because that represents the torch.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this is. Remember, Gideon had this torch, and that keeping that light, you know, shining, giving you hope. Understand that despite what's going on, right before the breakthrough, it's always its darkest hour.
Yeah.
It's always the darkest hour. And, well, you think about it, Jesus being born and what was going on with all the death of the babies and Moses and all those. The enemy just tries everything to be able to stop what he's doing, which means he knows he's about to be out. He's about to lose something. And we're seeing this great, you know, escalation, quick escalation. Mm-hmm. That's how you really know when they're throwing like, is that the sink that just came at us?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that the kitchen sink that just came? That's a good sign. People say, they're throwing the kitchen sink. You go, that's praise God. They're thinking it's over, because
right.
if they're throwing the kitchen sink, I don't want to talk about all that. But see, I'm just telling you that because you don't have a vision like you're saying, John, you'll be destroyed and all that.
Mm-hmm.
You have no restraint during that, because vision, people without vision cast off restraint, is what the NIV says. And what restrains us is that vision. And so we're like water.
Yeah.
You know, like we're like water when the enemy's coming in like a flood. We're just a flood with the enemy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But vision helps us make decisions. It helps us have a clear life. It gives us a reason to continue to stand.
Yeah.
It gives us hope. And it gives us an opportunity to love God through our faith, believing him for that vision to take place.
Yeah. Not to mention the energy and the excitement that God stirs within us when we have kingdom vision. And we go after it, you know, because that's what kingdom vision does. God vision does, just stirs you up in your spirit. And now you're sharing it. You're talking about it. Other people are hearing it. And then all of a sudden, what we talked about, this group starts gathering, this kingdom army starts gathering to fulfill the vision that God has, you know, set forth.
Right.
It takes all three: dreaming, vision, talking, sharing about it, and doing hard work.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
Can you lose your job for referring to your faith? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Out of the blue here all of a sudden last Wednesday morning, here comes my boss walking into one of the stores I was in, and he goes, I'm going to have to let you go. And I said, for what? And he said, harassment. You can't tell people that if you're not religious, you're going to go to HELL. And I said, I didn't say any of that.
Yeah, let me tell you this. You can't be fired for your faith, and that to be documented. There was this attempt a few years ago to create what was called a religious free zone at the workplace, but that did not come into fruition. And we beat those guidelines back. So, again, that's an overreaction. Let me get you in touch also with our lawyers here at the ACLJ and get you some help. And, by the way, great resources, Gary, on our website. The On the Issues section, when you go there, right there on the website, has a whole section about workplace and what you can and cannot do. But since you've been terminated here, let me get you in touch with our lawyers.
Visit us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
You just really wouldn't think it's possible. I mean, how could this be? Why would anybody really want to harm us? Why would anybody want to reprogram the way we think? Why would anybody want to fundamentally transform our nation from its original founding fathers' intent as God, as our foundation? Why would anybody want to take over our children's lives? Well, the reason why is because they say a hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. When you train your children up in the way that you want them to go, that's how they'll go. God's called us to train our children in the way they should go. But let's just don't take our word for it. Let's look back at history and see what happened when they found out what Hitler was doing in the very same time with the church trying to de-Christianize a nation. And that's what's happening today in America. You're looking at in every corner and every infeeding of news and media and presentation is to just remove God out of the public arena, to de-Christianize America, but it's just the sins of the past. Listen up.
In 2002, a Jewish law student uncovered a report from the Nuremberg trials in the 1940s. It was compiled by members of the OSS, an American spy agency in World War II. The report was called The Nazi Master Plan: The Persecution of the Christian Churches. And it laid out a step-by-step plan to de-Christianize Germany. Take over the churches from within, using party sympathizers. Discredit, jail, or kill Christian leaders. Re-indoctrinate the congregants. Give them a new faith in Germany's Third Reich.
So where were Germany's Christians in all of this? Most of them were too frightened to protest. But a small remnant of Christians did stand up against the Reich Church. A group of 3,000 Protestants, known as the Confessing Church, openly defied Hitler and paid the price.
Adolf Hitler said, "I'll make those damned parsons feel the power of the state in a way they'd never believed possible. If I ever have the slightest suspicion that they're getting dangerous, I will shoot the lot of them."
700 pastors from the Confessing Church were arrested. Many of them were murdered or sent to concentration camps.
There is such a thing as evil, and this man is evil. Hitler has no permanent loyalties. If you cross him, you'll die.
Understand that that is the ultimate goal of adversary Satan, is to steal, kill, and destroy. That actually happened. Removing the knowledge of the Jews and God's people from the land. Concentration camps. That was what the end result was. JJ, listen, we have to pay attention. Jews and Jesus, understand this. The church and the Jews won't end up well if we continue in this direction. De-Christianizing America? Well, we need to stand up like the Confessing Church did and say, no, no more. As for me and my house, as for me and my city, as for us and our nation, we will be one that acknowledges God.
Wow. At BFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to BFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device, no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com. and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com, click podcast.
John.
Yeah.
I got to tell you about a time that I was just bound. I had so many things happening, and just I felt so restrained. And, you know, I know God's word tells us that we're, you know, he's came to to unbind us, to be able to set us free. And I just felt just oppressed and just bound. And I thought, you know, what can I do about this? And then I figured, you know what? I'm just going to get a bigger pair of pants. You know, I'm going to just go ahead and move up from size 28 to 29. And it was amazing, man. I felt so free when I actually decided to say, you know, it's time to move up in size. We got to let the 28s go. You know, it was totally amazing. No longer bound. I am free. Welcome back to the cool program. VFN Radio's Extra Hour. My host, Greg Lancaster. Yes, that's our producer selection, as you can tell.
Yeah, he's got to go. See those moves? Oh, man.
Welcome to the university program today. We're going to be discussing how two components meet each. No, you're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Join us is Pat and John.
Hello, hello. Listen, did you see? Did you see?
Yes.
Did you see?
Twice.
You got to watch his video.
Okay.
There's this video. And we're going to make available on the Torch.
Right.
We're going to make available on the Torch. But they're shooting a promo. This pastor in Texas is shooting a promo, I think, for a book called The Real Win. And he's out there with an orange vest. This is a hunting. I mean, they're actually going out there hunting.
It's a hunting?
A hunting video or promo that they're doing. Because he's got the orange, you know, gear.
Fluorescent vest
doesn't get shot. And he's got a big old rifle. And as they're filming, he's kind of like walking. And they're filming him walk. They're telling him, it's coming. They're saying something to that effect. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, he reaches, the bird is flying right at him. The bird is coming right at him. He's like, he just not even paying attention. And all of a sudden, he reaches his hand out. You got to just listen to this.
Coming at you.
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness! He caught it.
Is that awesome?
Oh my goodness! It flew. I'm glad he didn't shoot it when it shot the cameraman. Wow! You got to see that.
You play that
paradigm
again.
Shift.
It's coming right. The bird is coming right at him. He's not even noticing. It looks up.
Coming at you.
Well, you see it right coming in.
Wow.
Oh. Like he caught a frisbee. Unbelievable.
Is that real?
Oh, I think it's real.
Oh, my goodness.
Sweet catch. You knew who that was. Next sweet catch. It's Colt McCoy.
Yeah.
Oh, Colt McCoy.
Cool. That's him right there.
Wow.
He's a believer.
Colt McCoy's the real win he has there. Also, in his book at the very end, he talks about it. But
yeah.
Wow, that was pretty amazing.
500,000 views, I think, on YouTube. But the pastor and Colt McCoy wrote this book called The Real Win. And it's good. I'm glad to see that it's getting circulation out there. But that was pretty amazing.
It makes me think of a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush.
Exactly.
We were talking about that this morning.
He caught this bird, and the bird flew right at him.
Yeah.
I was wondering, is he going to shoot at the cameraman's right in front of that thing? You got to see this, right? Go to the VFN Torch.
VFN Torch.
Make it available at VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on the flaming torch on the right-hand side.
That's right.
Awesome.
Well...
Did you see that?
I did.
Did you?
I really
get that?
Did. Put it in a box. Put it in a box.
Oh my! It is good to be in the studio. It's good to be in the studio. Let me tell you.
Well, I think this is we're going to talk about separation of church and state, and I think this is so important because. This is Prager University, and this is one of their classes that they give on separation of church and state, and they're talking about it because we talk about the original intent of the nation and the original intent of the church. You know, what do the founding fathers say about it? I think they do an excellent job. And this is on separation of church and state, which they teach at Prager University. It's one of their classes. Listen up.
Almost everyone has heard of the separation of church and state. In fact, this phrase is so central to the discussion of the role of religion in American society that most Americans actually believe it is in the United States Constitution itself. But there is no such phrase in the Constitution, because the Founding Fathers never intended for church and state to be completely separate. They saw religion as indispensable to the moral foundation of the nation they were creating. So where does that phrase come from? Believe it or not, it comes from one brief letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote in 1802 to the Baptist Association in Danbury, Connecticut. And what exactly does the Constitution say about religion and its role in public life? The answer is found in the First Amendment to the Constitution. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. It's plain what those words mean. The new federal government could not establish a national religion to which everyone had to belong. Each American citizen must be free to choose his own religion. When James Madison first proposed what eventually became the First Amendment, his original wording stated that no religion shall be established by Congress, but that language was subsequently modified after it was pointed out that this might be construed to mean that the state had no interest in religion at all. As George Washington noted in his farewell address, religion and morality are indispensable supports of our political prosperity. And reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle. Washington's view remained the nation's view for 150 years, but that changed in 1947. In that year, in the case of Everson versus Board of Education, the Supreme Court ruled in a 5-4 decision that under the First Amendment, neither a state nor the federal government could pass laws which aid one religion, aid all religions, or prefer one religion over another. By adding the phrase "aid all religions" in between the ban on preferential treatment, the court laid the groundwork for the modern strict separation of church and state view. And where did the majority 5 justices look for support for their argument? Back to that one phrase used in one letter by Thomas Jefferson. How ironic. The Declaration of Independence, which Jefferson authored, of course, grounded the cause of independence in an appeal to nature and nature's God. It established the proposition that we have inalienable rights that are not bestowed on us by government, but are a birthright gift from our Creator. And it concluded from those self-evident truths that government's only legitimate purpose is to secure every citizen's God-given inalienable rights. Does that sound like something that was written by a man who wanted to wall off government from religious belief? The Declaration of Independence and the Constitution are but two of the innumerable examples where our government, both federal and state, acknowledge a debt to God. As Supreme Court Justice William O. Douglas, a noted liberal, acknowledged in the 1952 case of Zorich versus Clausen, we are a religious people whose institutions presuppose a supreme being. But the damage had been done. The separation of church and state metaphor that the court borrowed from Jefferson in the Everson decision has been used to remove God and religion piece by piece from American public life. Are we a better society for it? Marriage, except among religious Americans, is in decline. Birth rates, except among religious Americans, are in decline. The percentage of children born to unwed women has skyrocketed. Behavior in classrooms has deteriorated. Crime rates rose just as religion declined. Almost every cultural and ethical indicator has declined since God and religion started to be removed from American life, and all because of one sentence in one letter. I'm John Eastman, professor at Chapman University School of Law for Prager University.
That is so amazing. You know, you're listening to VFN Radio at VFNTV.com, and understand that we're talking about original intent. What is the original intent when you hear about separation of church and state? Obviously, when he wrote the thing, when the very one that wrote it, they're using one of his letters saying that this is what he meant in the letters. Like, how about just reading the document that he found? You know, because when you start drawing things up, you do a rough draft and a rough draft, and you think it through and think it through. And then eventually you come out with what's more clear, and this is going to be my final product.
Right.
he said God is the epicenter of our existence,
right?
That our rights come from him, and the very first amendment was, and the government shouldn't mess with it.
Right. That's right.
Hello?
That kind of explains everything, wouldn't you say?
Hello?
And so understand that it's messaging where people are constantly trying to put a message out, like 1947 when they began to do a groundwork with the Everson case, Everson versus the board.
And they just hijacked that phrase off of, they looked for one thing for, you know, to latch onto, and they didn't latch onto the Constitution. It took this one letter, I mean, this one sentence out of the letter, and use that to set precedence.
Mm-hmm. And but they're skipping over the actual document itself that he wrote. He said, this is the final one, and everybody signed it, including him, in the context of that. So for 150 years, it was unquestionable that the separation of church and state, which was a statement they came up with themselves, but it basically would be interpreted up to 150 years is government don't touch the church. Don't touch it, because they came from England, where the government King George put himself over the church and made one church and made it integrated it with the government and said, if you leave this church, it's like leaving the country, so you can suffer for the crime of treason.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And so their perspective was they didn't want the government to have anything to do at all with the freedom of religion.
That's right.
And that's what they say, even the gathering and being able to petition the government, that all comes from the freedom. The government is by the people and for the people. Now the government is trying, this has always happened in history. You know, the government will eventually try to, if it doesn't start off with, see itself as the answer to all. Mm-hmm. I mean, even Israel, when they cried out for a king like everyone else, they were choosing the world's form of government over God's form of government instead of Samuel, who they did have. They weren't satisfied with God's form of government, so they said, we want a king like everybody else. And so God gave them Saul, mm-hmm. the very first king, who led them into a lot of difficulty. And that's where we are today. Today is, we have to understand, despite, you know, what's happening, we got to say, you know, who is God?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, is government God or is God God? And people can say, well, God's God, but if we turn to government as God, that's who truly...
That's right. It's not what you say, is what you follow.
Well, if you think about it, you know, people, you know, pay their taxes, but do people give God his tithe?
Mm.
Right.
According to George Bonner, only 3% of regular church attenders give a tenth of their income increase, and not all of that is to the church in itself. Which means, but it's interesting, probably 100% of them pay their taxes.
Yeah.
You know.
Interesting.
Interesting. And so then who is God? Mm. Well, they force me to. Well, God's not going to force us to, but the fact is that, hey, you know, if he's God, then we're going to honor him.
Yeah.
We're going to honor him. And one way we honor him is we say, God, you've given me all of this. You bless the work of my hands, so I'm going to honor you with the first fruits and the tithes. Another way we honor him in America is going back to the original intent of the founding fathers, when it was clearly stated in the documents that that all of our rights come from God.
Mm-hmm.
It's signed in the year of our Lord. I mean, we tell time by Jesus.
Yeah.
And but in America is a land of law that it's based on, which we talked about before, let the decision stand. That's why it was so good about this case that happened with
Gosnell,
the abortion doctor, that now that decision is going to stand. They can't do anything with it, especially since he just went ahead and said, you know, put me away.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they have to contend with this case. That if you would have fought it and they would have won it, they could have changed that. But they can't. It's just there now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 1947 is what they're saying here with Prager University, one of their classes. You could see this video, which you're hearing kind of sound effects. That makes it pretty interesting.
And
when
the decision was 5-4, yeah. which tells you how important it is when we have judges that really, you know, rule by the law by just looking at the Constitution and not trying to interpret the Constitution. Right. Well, it matters.
And they didn't go to the Constitution. They went to a letter.
Exactly.
I mean, we've all written those letters one time or another, right? And I wish I had wrote that letter.
Right.
And the enemy would go to that lowest common denominator letter and say, this is how you feel. Well, that's how I felt momentarily.
Yeah. Right. I've sent like 1,000 emails in my life. Right, 10,000, right. You know, you picked the one sentence in the one email that I said.
Right. And but you can just read. I got something encouraging to tell you. when we're talking about original intent, and a lot of people are saying, no, we're going to lose the country, we're going to lose the country. Well, not necessarily if we just wake up and be who we're supposed to be in God and good Americans in the context of that. How about just reading the document that they're trying to change? Why not read the Declaration of Independence? Why not read the Constitution?
Yes.
And you'll be really surprised. Everything that's being said today, a lot of it that's leading us in this dark direction, is the opposite of what the document says. That's why they want to do away with it. But it's, see, if that's what we're actually based on, that's our Constitution, what we're made up of, and that's the reason why we declared our independence, which is 27 reasons, not just taxation. There was a whole bunch of different reasons. Is that you'll find out, wait a minute, me standing up to be a good American and a good Christian fits right in with the expectations of those who founded this country.
Yeah.
It's not wrong. It actually was an expectation of that. As a matter of fact, the very first Bibles printed in America was printed by the U.S. Congress.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
You know, Jesus said in John 15, he says, talking of himself, right, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
He says, I am the vine, talking of himself.
Right.
You, us, believers, are the branches.
Mm-hmm.
And his father, our father, mm-hmm. is the gardener.
Right.
And the vine just kind of grows where it wants to go. You know, it grows towards the sun. Natural vines grow towards the S-U-N.
Mm-hmm.
And spiritual vine and branches grow to the S-O-N.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that is neat.
And so, you know, for God spoke to me about, as he called us, called me out to be able to begin to do what we're doing today.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't just happen like this. And he said, very specifically, I'm going to teach you something for 3 years that I'm going to use for the next 30 years of my church.
Wow.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And he confirmed that through Dutch Sheets. It was pretty cool how God had done that. Because you think, you know, when God's calling you, this might be you right now. You might be thinking, okay, I got the call. I'm ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, many are called, but few are chosen. You have to understand that there's a process of learning and growing that you need to understand. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. You know, when he said, get thee up and go to Abram, that meant 25 years, right?
Right.
Well, you need to get rightly related. You need to get connected to what God is doing. And we tried. So once the 3 years was up, it was amazing. Just right in time, God just showed up in a powerful way. He just nailed it. It said, it's finished. It's time to do it. It was just really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And we started the 30-year journey.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, how could we explain this in a short period of time, you know, a condensed period of time to help people get perspective
right.
of what Vine Fellowship Network's about, and it just integrates with the Word of God. It was just doing what God says, mm-hmm. you know. And so while Vine, which is Jesus is the vine,
mm-hmm.
fellowship is what the church does, and network, we all stay together and stay rightly related, which is you know, Psalms 133, you know,
right.
and John 17:23. And so what came of that was called, we call it the Vine Seminar. The Vine Seminar, Vine Seminars, which is, there's several different seminars now that's evolved in, but knowing this, that the main seminar that started it was trying to explain,
mm-hmm.
how do you move from a flower pot to a vine? How do you move out of the fences and the confinement of men's tradition rightly, not wrongly,
right.
and follow God in the Great Commission? And God walked us through a way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he confirmed it every step of the way. We share that. We share that at the Vine Seminars. You can find out more at vineseminars.org. You can sign up for one in your city. Fill it out. Let them know that you are interested in it, and we'll make it available to you. It's vineseminars.org.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Right now, we're about over 5,000 and growing fans. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. Now, we were just talking about
separation and church.
The original intent.
Original intent.
Yes, the original intent. And my goodness, it's just so eye-opening when you look back. Mm-hmm. It's like, you think about it, even in the gospel where Jesus says, even the very elect could be deceived. So you know about a nation.
Yeah.
That's just minor.
Exactly.
Kingdoms
right.
come, kingdoms go. So it's, if you can be deceived over the gospel and over Jesus, then you know the deceiver will work hard trying to mess up your family and mess up your business and mm-hmm. mess up your nation. And you got to really pay attention. And so, like we always talk about, going to the original intent of the nation and find out what the founding fathers wrote in the final documents in the Constitution and in the Declaration of Independence, their final draft and the original documents. Then we can go back to the Word of God and find out what Jesus wrote. And this, we were really surprised. We're going through right now the Constitution of the Church, you could call it that, mm-hmm. the original intent of the church mm-hmm. with the Sermon on the Mount, the very first thing that God said through his son. He sat down on the mountainside and began to talk. God began to sit down. He sat down on the mountain and began to tell us, and it's so different than what you're hearing today. I mean, it's different. I mean, men who love God dearly, I know they love God. But it's like, hey, we're overlooking something pretty important here.
Pretty significant.
Yeah.
I mean, if you had to do away with something, do away with everything but the words of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes. He's pretty direct about everything. There is no ambivalence, you know. I mean, people say, well, that's kind of rough. Well, Jesus said, gouge it out or cut it off
yeah.
if it causes you to sin.
Mm.
He said things, and we'll be talking more about it, but about how important it is to, you know, settle matters, settle them quickly, and how important it is to move in love and to forgive. And if we don't forgive, then he's not going to forgive us. And it's like, you know, how does that paradigm fit when somebody tells you that you can walk around with bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness, and your destiny is going to be like the person who obeyed God and loved God and did what he said?
Mm-hmm.
Of all the things that Jesus could have said, yeah, he didn't say that when he became a source for eternal salvation in Hebrews, as we talked about earlier in the first hour, if you say a prayer, he said a source of eternal salvation for those who obey me, who obey my commands. I mean, think about that. That's just a paradigm shift, because so many people are, and I really believe they love God, and and the more you live life, the more you realize you have to have God's mercy and grace. But we don't forego the words of God.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We just say, "Hey, I'm like Paul, and I have to have I need more of grace than anybody else." But we got to say what he said. And Jesus, Paul's writing that Jesus became a source for eternal salvation for those who obeyed his command, who obeys his commands. And you say, "Well, how can that happen?" Because Jesus told us how to do that in John 15. He said to abide with him, and he will, apart from abiding in him, all you have is a religious experience, possibly. But if you abide with him, he will empower you to walk in obedience to him. What's that mean? Walk in a love towards God. You're able to walk in love and worship, and your joy is complete. And the things we talked about, you can hear more about that in the first hour. But it's just a whole new revelation on the Constitution of the Church, the Sermon on the Mount. Of all the things that God could have said to us, his very first words, basically, to human beings that he created, creating his image and his likeness, was delivered through his son, Jesus, delivered through his son, and he said nothing and did nothing unless he heard the Father say it or saw him do it. So this is the creator of the universe. This is God who was with Adam and Eve in the garden, created mankind in his image and his likeness, told them to go forth and rule the world and be fruitful and multiply and all that. This is what he said. I mean, he began to talk about how we should live our life, some practical expectations of the creator who created us in the environment and the people that we live amongst, that we have to do some practical things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there's significant consequence, even eternal consequence, he talks about, for not walking in obedience. And somebody says, well, that's saved by works. No, it's not saved by works. But, you know, like James said, the brother of Jesus, he says, listen, you know, show me, you know, works without faith without works, and I'll show you works without faith. In other words, they just go together. They're one and the same. Your faith is made complete by what you do. So when you have faith in Jesus, that means you obey Jesus, you love Jesus, you follow Jesus, you are his disciple. That's why you have faith. You have faith. If you truly have faith that he's the Lord, the leader in your life, then you're following the leader. You're actually finding out what his expectations are, his commands, his word, and you're depending on him to empower you, but that is your agenda for the day. Your agenda for the day is to follow the shepherd. That's not, you know, that's a peculiar thing to what's being taught today quite often, but it's not that peculiar. It's what he said. Read it. And it's just, I just feel, you feel that check? I mean, it's like, whoa, this is like major.
And this is the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah, it's the Sermon on the Mount, which is really the constitution of the church, you know?
Yeah. And we take it all in, and it's like, man, this is the foundation. This is, we got to get it on the inside of us. And and I've heard you say before, is the constitution is what we're made up of. This is what the church is made up of. But if only 3% of the church is actually taking, 19% of the church is actually taking responsibility, according to George Barna, for actually reading the Word of God, and only 3% of that 9% are actually taking responsibility for their own spiritual development.
They're actually following it.
Yeah. Following it, how do we even know what Jesus' words were to us? I mean, listen, I've heard people say that the Bible, you know, the B-I-B-L-E is basic instructions before leaving earth. You know, it's this is our instructions. This is wisdom. This is God's ways. And we need to know them if we're going to walk with him and live for him.
That's right.
And what's evident about that is, by the way, you can't blame this on anybody. You can't say, well, it's because my pastor or because of my teacher or because of my brother, my mother, my sister, my whoever, or because of the nation I'm in. Listen, you stand alone before the throne of God. No witnesses or no suspects. That's why we're talking to you. You've got to get this. This is an eternal get for you. You've got to get this.
I like that.
And it's important for you because you're going to be held accountable before the throne of God. That's how much, he loves you so much. That he's going to hold you accountable for the decisions that you made in this life. He thinks about you so much and loves you so much. He's delivering his truth to you to see what you're going to do. And then whatever you do with that truth, he's going to talk to you about it at the throne room. And he's going to say, you know, if you made him the Lord of your life, if you listened to him, if you worked on loving and worshiping and making your joy complete that we talked about in the first hour, you know, growing in obedience with the Lord, understanding that he makes you fruitful when you abide with him, then you show up at, you know, you're going to be like one of the sheep that he talks about. The kingdom of God is like this. In the day of judgment, basically, he's going to take all of his animals, goats on one side and sheep on the other, and he's going to say there's a difference between the two. Mm-hmm. Although they're both human beings, you have men and women on one side and men and women on the other side. You have people that lived in all different, you know, seasons of life and all that. But to the ones on his left side or one side, he's going to tell the sheep, he said, listen, well done. What does that mean? They abided. They listened. They made it applicable to themselves because you're held individually accountable before God. And then they were fruitful. They took whatever God had given them and they invested it and they became fruitful with it. And they lived their life with grape stains on their hands and vineyard dirt on their feet. They understood that the reason why I'm here is to advance the kingdom of God, to make lovers of God, disciples of God through his son, Jesus Christ. But on the other side, it'll be people that live their lives for themselves, people who they may have been very religious, because obviously when he talks about them, they were very religious, but they did not know God. They even talks about him in Matthew chapter 7. He says, many people are going to think they know me, but they don't, even though they moved in all these gifts. And it's so important to understand your gift means nothing other than you have a gift. It doesn't say anything about you. How you use it does.
That's right.
That's right.
And so many being promoted and lifted up by their gift, and they're thinking that they are their gift, and you're not. It's something that you just got given freely by the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get those things twisted.
Right. And so you answer alone before God. And so we're talking to you, and today was really dedicated to speaking to you and encouraging you. And don't look at other people and go, okay, this is where their life is, and kind of gauge where your life is, and you know, all this latitude and longitude stuff, trying to see what you're measuring yourself by yourself and by men versus by Jesus Christ. He's the one we're to imitate. He's the Lord. Men are following God like you're following God. And they have their own journeys like you have your own journey. And they're going to be held accountable for how they respond to God like you're going to be held accountable. But the Sermon on the Mount, the original intent of the church, when you listen to it, and hopefully we'll get a chance to begin to share about it on VFN Radio, you're going to be so surprised. I believe there's a new veil being lifted off of, and it really just rebukes us for what has been taught in the church, that we have left the teachings of Jesus, the expectations of God. And I want to encourage you to begin to just meditate and abide with the words of God.
Yeah, because when you abide and you spend time daily with God, you're hearing his voice. You're writing it down, and that word stays in your heart, and you can walk it out throughout the day. That's why we are always talking about abiding. Listen, if you're not spending time with Jesus, and you don't even know what Jesus is saying, how can we have it in our life and bearing fruit? And that's the one thing that God's called us to do, is to bear fruit, lasting fruit that's going to remain.
And you can do that through abiding with the Lord. And but just think about it. Isn't it cool that you're hearing now that you're going to be held personally accountable for what you did with this Jesus?
Yeah.
And so it's important for you to know that he loves you. He has a plan for your life. His expectations of you is to love him and love the Father and to love others. And he talks about this in the original intent of the church. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.